Okay, this is our last Vavavi class till September. So we got to leave you with a thought to last you a month almost. So we're on page Kuf Mem Zayin. We've just begun the chapter 15. We're in the second subcategory. And he's been basically, last lesson was a bit of a review. But we said main issue is that there's two levels of speaking to Hashem. The first level is just sharing your problems, sharing your thoughts, sharing what you were trying to do, and then presenting to Hashem, your prayers to Him. So it gets into a really, really important point now that unfortunately we won't fully develop because it's a few days in the making. But there'll be plenty to think about for the next few weeks. There's a pasuk that says, we're on Kuf Mem Zayin, second paragraph from the bottom. V'hamachshela hazos tachas yodcha. The pasuk says, and this obstacle is under your hand. Gemara learns from this, ein adam oimed al divrei teira elim ke nichshol behem. A person doesn't really stand in terms of words of Torah. In other words, you really don't get Torah. Doesn't really seep into your essence until you first stumbled in them. That's what it means. And this obstacle is in your hand. What do you mean obstacles in your hand? In other words, it's through the obstacles of life, you have something in your hand that you could say, it's mine, I have it, it's solid. So, you come to learn something and you say, well, that was easy, I got it right away. So you didn't learn nothing. You didn't learn anything. If you struggled, you fell, you struggled, you fell, you struggled. If I don't get it, I don't get the Gemara, I don't get the Gemara, I don't understand it, I don't understand the concept. But you worked on it, you worked on it, you worked on it. And then finally when you get it, then you got it. What he means is, ba'imik p'nima sadvarim, you go in the deeper understanding of this. Hakishlon hu chelek bilti nifrad mitzura savoda. Stumbling, mistakes, is not a separate aspect in our way of serving Hashem. And what he's going to tell us in this pasuk, this is the famous pasuk in Mishlei, Sheva Yipol Tzadik Vakum. The Tzadik falls seven times and gets up. So how do we understand the pasuk? So normally we understand the pasuk means that, in every pursuit, nobody's perfect, we make mistakes. And the Tzadik is the guy who doesn't lose heart by falling, and even if he falls seven times, he still gets up. Never gives up. Never give up attitude, which is certainly true, but it's very, very far away from the deeper understanding of the pshat. That's what he says in the next paragraph. Nemar v'pasuk, it says in Mishlei, Kisheva yipol tzadik v'kam, because the tzadik falls seven times and gets up. So he says, v'tzarech l'das, you need to know, ki lav davka ba'olam ha'maseh, not only in the world of action do we have the concept of the tzaddik falling seven times, but even in the thoughts there is a way in this pathway. In every spiritual world there are these seven levels. A person has to try and fall, and try and fall. Lokomosha mashva v'pashtus, not like what it means in the simple reading. Shirak be'asiya yeshas hashev yipol tzadik v'kom. Only in the world of action is it a tzadik falls seven times then gets up. Im yeshos be'asiya, if this is true in action, muchroch shigam baratz, and you'll see it's also in terms of will, v'machshav in thought, u'bediver in speech, kayemes v'chinasu, these aspects fit in as well. In other words, first of all, it's two points he's going to make here. Point number one is, this isn't only something regarding action. Let's say you want to build something, and there's all kinds of complications, and all kinds of delays, and all kinds of failures. And eventually, it finally works out. But it's in all the subtle aspects of our spiritual growth that are harder to measure initially, in terms of my thinking, in terms of my struggles of desire, right? And we fall in that so often. But you know what? You get up. But more than that, as he turns the page, now he gets to the deeper deeper understanding. Memela kuf memches, consequently, acharei, after hasheva yipol tzadik v'kam, after the seven times of the tzadik falling and giving up, and not only seven is lav davka seven, but seven means it's including the seven spheros from chesed to malchus, the seven aspects of how anything comes out, or those are the seven, those are the aspects of production. Right, so those aspects of production, there's so many different ways of how the production is meant to happen, and in every aspect you're going to make mistakes. But finally, after the seven times of falling, kisha'ara magia l'shmoina, when the person gets to the eighth, that's not, again, we're not numbers per se, but l'pamash means to the eighth time, and lav davka pamash means it doesn't have to be the eighth time mamish, ela hakavara madregas hashmina, it's talking about the level of the eighth, meaning say where you've acquired it. You know, vakum, comes the word kayem, stable. And by the eighth time where you've acquired it, and you're not going to let it go, and nobody can take it away from you, that's what it means, the eighth level. Shimadrega, we know, mystically, seven is within nature, eight is beyond nature. Shimadrega me'al gidrateva, it's a level beyond nature, there's no natural force that can pull it away from you. Sham nichlolim kolonisyonos, on that eighth level is incorporated all the hundreds of tests and attempts and failures. Meaning to say, when you get to the eight, it doesn't only contain the success, but it contains the seven failures which brings you to the eighth. It is a cumulative effect. It's a cumulative effect. And the failures were part and parcel of what produced the success. Success never ever comes immediately. And if it does, it's not success. It's not success. Only after many, many, many failures, then when the success ultimately comes, it's all predicated and built on those failures. That's why the Rambam defines a Baal Tshuva. He says, how do we know someone's a Baal Tshuva? If he sinned with a certain woman in a certain place, in a certain time, if that same situation comes again, and he resists, then we know he's a Baal Tshuva, proper Baal Tshuva. Why does it have to be the same woman? Why not a different one? The answer is because all those failures are part of your success in Tshuva. You had to first fail in this area to eventually succeed in this area. That's why you'll find in your lives, recurring tests come back to you when you get older in life. Tests that happened when you were much younger, that you totally failed. And all of a sudden, you know... Either you're struggling with it and failing again, or you're finally succeeding. Because those failures have produced an ultimate success. You know, person's working on their temper. A lot of failures. And you're reading a lot of Svarim, and you're learning a lot of Musar, and you're working on that. And then after you finish Musar Seder, right when you finish Musar Seder, you get up and you yell at somebody. Right? So you look, what kind of failure am I? Right? So don't worry about it. That's part of the process. The process is built in. You're supposed to fail. You are not. This is. That's what Gemara says. Without Hashem's help, you're not going to succeed. So you think Hashem helps you right away? Right. It takes a lot of work till you've got to become the person who doesn't get angry anymore. Right. That doesn't change overnight. You have to fail, you have to reflect on the failures. Okay, what happened this time that I've messed up? I thought I already controlled myself in the past. Now that I analyze this failure, I see that when my ego is touched, that's when my anger gets touched. Now I got to work on the ego. Now that's a whole new level I have to work at. I thought I had to work on my anger, but really I have to work on my ego. You start working on your ego, and then after a while, then that still doesn't help. Well, then I got to take another step. Got to keep working through, and that Hashem is purposely doing this, obviously. He's bringing you these tests, he's bringing these situations to get you angry, to realize that you still haven't succeeded. And there's more and more and deeper and deeper and deeper. Till eventually it'll be like you just don't get angry anymore. Because you've worked through all the mitos that are necessary to work through, because you keep seeing. Failure is the greatest indication that you still have what to learn. When we don't fail, we don't think we have to learn anything. That's why sometimes people who things come easily to them younger in life struggle much more when they get older, because they never had to deal with failure, and truthfully they don't know how to handle failure, and that failure destroys them. But when you're younger, you know, failure doesn't destroy you. Your parents teach you failure is part of the game, and you learn it's not such a terrible thing to fail, and then you can handle failures much better, much better. And the kid who really struggled in school, you know, to get a B with hard work, you know, that kid ultimately does better than the kid who waltzed through school and getting A's. Because you know what? The skill sets were one that naturally fit him. But when you get older and there'll be other new skill sets that he hasn't learned, he's never learned that he has to work hard to get anything. And when you get older, it's much harder to learn that skill. Well, when you're in school and you kept failing, you had to work hard, you realize, you know, it doesn't come naturally. It doesn't come naturally. That's a big problem that the next generation is gonna have, because everything has been handed to them. Everything, even what they call hard work isn't hard work. Right? So it's been handed on a silver spoon. What's gonna happen? They're really gonna have to work hard. You know, that's when they're gonna fall apart. That's when really gonna fall apart. Yes, Rafal.
Does that have to be 7 times, like a lot?
No, it's don't get hung up on the number.
No, but is it?
But it's a lot. It's a lot.
It's a lot of times.
It's not once. It's not twice. I mean, we're talking about important things. We're not talking about things that aren't, you know, did I do this flyer right? You know, okay, maybe one, two, three takes, you know. That's it. I mean, it doesn't have to take 7 times. But, you know, making a flyer isn't the most important thing. It's important, but it's not who you are. It's not who you are. It's who you are. The type of person, the things that a tzaddik grapples with, the things that make you into a tzaddik. Right? So those are the things that we have to work at. Those are the things that are really will take time. And you will fail often. Right? You know, simple. Learning how to read Hebrew. For Baal Tshuvas, it's impossible. It's impossible. You know, they have to realize more of their fallings in order to be a better reader. They have to be willing to fall. They have to be willing to. The best way is, you know, you're a novel, you're the chazan, get in front of everybody and make bizyonis of yourself for a whole year. And everybody comes, you know, it's not, you know, some of these mistakes is like so bad. It's like, okay, we're nice. We don't embarrass anybody. But there's one by the he ruts on. It's like if you guys realized, you know, how painful it was for me to listen to these things. It's like, I don't mean achas v'sham. I don't mean to insult anybody. It's just one of them. It's just every time it's on Mondays and Thursdays, I just wince. So you can wince with me now. Which one is this? Which one is it? To. One second. I gotta say this once. Where is this one? We say Hiratzon v'Mishum Shaim. It should be your will. It's the second Hiratzon. L'rachem alein shev. Mercy on us while Plato said on the remnant. V'limnoa mashchis u'maygeifam eleinu. And to prevent destruction and plague from upon us. So this guy keeps reading, not v'lima mashchis, v'limnoa mashiach, and to prevent the mashiach from us. I mean, you got mem shin ches, so mashiach. V'limnoa mashiach. You know, and the point is, at that point, I said to myself, I'm going to go over to him after davening. But every time I say to myself, after davening, you forget. It's like it'll be 50 times. I'll say to myself, I got to go to him after davening. It's only like twice a week or once a week that the guy doesn't always come. Whatever. I said, I'm going to go over to him. But then after davening, I have to make the announcements and I have to say the Dvar Torah. And then so I'm just saying, it's like you got to have somebody sit next to you. I had one time a guy said, okay, Rabbi, sit next to me. Listen to me read. And we're going to circle every mistake I made. We must have circled hundreds of mistakes. Okay, then you got to read and keep falling. But you've got to deal with it, and you got to keep falling. You see, how's that mistake going to get corrected? How do these mistakes get corrected? You have to fall. The guy doesn't even know he's falling. The guy thinks he's making 10, 50 mistakes. He's making like 500 mistakes. Okay, but over time, people go over to him, and then whatever. I'm just giving an example. I don't mean, and the truth is, it's most people here have that issue. So how do you succeed? Sit down and read. Read in front of somebody that knows that and keep noticing. Okay, why do I keep changing a shin with a sin all the time? It's another classic one. The shins and the sins, this drives me bananas. Simcha, shimcha. It totally changed the meanings, right? So you're not going to realize that until you, and Baruch Hashem, a lot of people get a lot better over the year. But if they never had a beef for the Almud, they'd keep reading wrong their whole lives because they never fell. Yeah.
There is an aspect of human personality of failure avoidance where people will not get involved in an area that they feel uncomfortable in and may fail. And avoid that whole aspect.
So the area of failure avoidance is pure Yetzirah. It's pure Yetzirah, and it's also some ego. What's so bad about failing? When I was little, I worried about it. Now I don't worry about it anymore. So you failed. Nope. What did it prove? That more than that, you're human. What did it prove?
It's funny that the rabbi says that, because we said it's easier to fail as a child, and yet... Now we're saying that as children we avoid situations.
No, it's easier to fail as a child, but you have to be willing to fail as a child. A lot of people, as a child, are afraid to try something. They don't want to jump in the water, to learn how to swim. That's an example. I hated instructional swimming when I was a kid because I was very bad at it. I didn't want to be. I was ducked out of it like for years in camp. I said, I'm not going to swim. It's whatever part of my psyche at that time in my life. Didn't want to fail. Okay. Now, if you're lucky, if a parent, I had a sick father, my mother had to work all day. Nobody was there to sit with me and teach me how to ride a bike. No one's there to teach me anything. So whatever I could get on my own, I got on my own. I couldn't. I didn't. There's nobody there to push me. Except my mother pushed me to do good in school. Right. But that's it. So, you need someone who can, that's what a parent has to do, is push the kid into the failure zone. To get them used to the fact that failure is a very healthy activity in life. And the kid doesn't want to do it, you push them into it as much as you can, what they're able to handle. Now, of course, you don't want them to fail every day and have no self-esteem. You have to know when to push them, when not to push them. But this avoidance of failure is a tremendous HR. As I always say over in the name of Sergeant Shriver, when he was asked to, it was in the 70s, I forgot when the Democrats... McGovern's vice president candidate, they found it was a drunk, so they had to replace him. Said, and everyone knew McGovern was going to lose. They knew he was going to lose. Like, not a, not a shy, like he's going to lose. So McGovern, I remember. Anyway, so they asked Shriver to do it. So Shriver did the Peace Corps. And also, he's one of the Kennedy. He married into the Kennedy Mishpacha. So anyway, So he said, why are you doing it? You're going to fail. It's like you're going to get elected. So he said, better to try 40 activities in your life and succeed in 20 and fail in 20 than to try 10 and succeed in all 10. Hmm. Because then you only succeeded in 10. If you only stay within your comfort zone, so what did you do in life? You did what you could do. You got 10. If you try things, I don't know if it's going to work. So you're right, you will fail often, but you will succeed in more areas in life. And that's what people have this big issue with. So what's the worst? You gotta remember, the only person you really gotta be afraid of, only being, you gotta be afraid of Hashem. Hashem, you really gotta be afraid of. Anybody else, it's a narishkeit. Maybe your wife also a little bit. But I'm saying in front of other people, I mean, as long as you're doing the right thing, I mean, you're afraid, you don't want to hurt people's feelings, you don't want to be a bad person, but you want to try something new. Whatever that is, And certainly if it's a fault that you have, I want to work on my temper, I want to work on my arrogance, I want to work on my being late, all these things. Of course you have to try them, because the fact that you're not trying means that, I wasn't even noticing anybody in the room. I momish wasn't even noticing anybody came in the room. It's Hashem put it in my mouth. Hashem put it in my mouth. I had nothing to do with this. Right. So, first of all, he's 25 minutes early. You're right. So anyway, but you have to be willing to not be afraid of failure. a person to teach Torah to somebody else. Well, what if I don't do such a good job? It won't be so bad, because if you don't, the other guy's not learning anything. Okay, now we shouldn't mistake in this idea. There's also a subtle other point. Well, you know, they do things and they fail and they think their success is in their failure. There's a lot of people who think their success is while they're ultimate failures. And they have to be able to take criticism. You know, okay, I can give a class, like a Nechta Katog, you can give a class. People think, you know, I learned 2 pages, I can give a class now. And they're the worst teachers in the world. But they think, well, there's this ego to give a class, or this ego to lead, or the ego to that. You gotta realize, you want to start something, be ready for criticism, and welcome the criticism. And then you'll grow. If you don't get any good criticism in life, then you never knew that you failed. You have to sit down, a person will say, okay, tell me where I'm wrong. Tell me where I have to improve. Tell me where I'm working on this, but it can't be perfect. Because if I'm perfect the first time, I'm a failure. I haven't succeeded unless I failed many times. Show me where my failures are. If you'd kindly show me my failures, then I'll be able to work on them better. Right? So that's such a critical thing. We should really be happy when you fail. Because every failure means you're fine-tuning, and then when you're going to get to that success, it's going to be a real success. You're going to really have it. And those failures are part of the success. It's such an important concept he's telling us over here. Yeah, there's a bunch of hands. Larry had a hand. Fall. Everybody's...
What would be a classic text, say, for failure management?
A classic text on failure management. That's a really good question. Well, this one's one of them. I think the Shari Tshuva, Gates of Repentance, first section is I have to think more on that. I mean, like, everything we learn is teaching us about failure management.
Friends write a good book about it, and they kept failing.
I mean, that's all. Basically all of this is Tshuva. That's what he's going to say. I really read this ahead. I don't know where he's going to have it soon. That's what tshuva is. Tshuva means to get beyond the failures. Right? So basically, a good book on teshuva is a good book on failure management. You know, there's aspects of how we have to look at things. But sorry, Larry, it's not going to be like 10 quick steps failure management. It'd be a good book. Larry, your next book. Failure management. It's like so important. It's so important to be willing. Just like, I want to work on something. I want to change something. I want to get there. And I'm happy to see my failures. You should really be besimcha, because the failure means there's still something wrong. That means there's more that still has to grow. To not fool yourself and think you've succeeded. Right? Yeah, Rafal?
Well, actually, that ties into what Larry was saying. Maybe it's a bit of a digression, but one of the problems I have is that there's so few books, you know, these biographies of Tzaddikim, the Art Scroll biography.
Yeah, at 3 years old, he knew all of Shas.
Yeah, exactly.
Baal Peh.
Exactly. But you don't...
It took him, he was a late bloomer, he only knew the Zohar by 6.
Yeah.
I know. Rav Huttner was against these Svarim. Rav Huttner said he doesn't know why they write these books. Now, the only sefer, to my mind, that has this is Rabbi Nachman.
Yes.
Rabbi Nachman talks about his failures, his incredible failures. He said one time, he's working on one day, we have no mosque with this, he's working 800 times to get himself in the right zone. I forgot what it was, for learning, or I don't remember what it was. Till he finally was in the mood to learn. And whatever that means for Rabbi Nachman, okay. But he acknowledged all the times his struggles. Now, the Piazetzner a little bit talks about that, shares his, there are very few, like, personal feelings of their feelings. But Rabbi Nachman was a good example that you have to, you're right. It, like a lot of times when I hear class, I hear a lot of tapes and I read a lot of books in certain areas, and I'm saying, yeah, but what I really, like, when you're looking for a story, so I got a bunch of, so I got the Crone stories, you got the Spiro stories, all these stories. I said, I'd like a story where a person has failed and then succeeded. It's very hard to write them because there's Hilchos Lashon Hara involved. Only the person who writes a first-person story could write such a story. So you have a few of them in these people talk stories by what's his name? People speak by what's his name? Walder. He has a few of them where the person acknowledges I was wrong in what I did and now I learned how to do better. But very few, those are the most important stories. To my mind, those are the most inspiring ones where people are failures and they succeed. But it's very few people are willing to open up, you know. And for that matter, that's why there's a lot of people in prominent positions who are failures but won't admit it and cause their disciples to be failures as well. Because there's no, you rarely hear, you know, you had this in, what was that city in Europe? You know, that, the other one. You know, it'll come to, you know, it could be Kelm also, Novartic, they beat themselves up, you know. Ich bis a Gornisht. And from Vanit kommt er zu sein a Gornisht, where does he come to be a nobody? Right? They're really working on themselves, okay?
I'm a better nobody than you.
Okay, you could say the problem with this generation is nobody could hear any criticism. Finished. It's like I'm almost giving up on the whole shul. Like I'm almost just about on humanity. Because whenever I give them concern criticism, they hate me afterwards. Just hate me. Whenever they look at me, they say, oh, the rabbi thinks I'm nothing. You know, no matter how you say it, no matter how you give it over, you know, I'm just about ready. Group criticism is okay because everybody thinks it's not them. So, no, Rambam talks about that. So they think it's a toka personally, and then if they want to, they'll listen. But if you sit the guy down and say, look, I have to tell you, with all the techniques, with all the you're wonderful and you're this and everything, you know, gently and softly and this, they don't want to look at you again. It's like people cannot handle it. They just can't handle it. It's such a soft generation. They can't handle it. They can't handle it. And if they say they can handle it, they can't handle it. And sometimes it's like, I have to tell people something. They're really doing something terrible. They're making decisions that are going to destroy their lives. And when I try, it backfires. So it's a tough thing. If I don't, then Hashem's going to punish me for not saying anything. So it's a tough situation, and I'm probably failing in that, and I have to improve on how to do that. But whatever it is, but it's so hard. It used to be, you know, people say made a mistake. Let's go ahead. You are human. Let's continue. It'd be a good drush, I think, maybe for Yom Kippur, for me to find some good examples of that. But that's clear. You have to want to fail, and that's the idea. You know that we knew that when you learned to ride a bike, didn't you? Right? Remember the times you fell? That you learned balance from that. What? You're not, that's the point you're gonna see later on. You're not disappointing Hashem by failing. Hashem says the way you're gonna grow is by failing. I've designed you to fail, and the success after the failure will be better. And guess who's the one who gives you the situation which you fail in? Hashem. And why do you fail? Because giving you more than you can handle right now. Hashem is making you fail. It's like I said, like the personal trainer. You could bench press 130, then he puts another 5 and you fall. You're disappointed. You're upset with yourself. I tried my best, but it was more than I can handle. I will learn how to pick up another 5 pounds. You're working on your anger management. So you've developed to the point where when one thing happens, you don't get angry. You know, there used to be a guy, let's say you're a guy, at the littlest thing, he jumped and screamed at people, right? Anything, right? He worked on himself. You know what? I won't jump and scream on the first thing. So what does Hashem do? He gives you 2 in a row. He gives you one and with another one 3 seconds later. Now that one you never worked on before. And boom, you start getting angry. I understand. I was working on this for a year. And I thought I was okay. Right? Hashem says, that's right, you were. But you got so far to go, so I gave you another one. So you didn't fail. You failed. Hashem made you fail. Hashem wants you to, okay, now why did you fail this time? Because it was 2 in a row. Okay, I'll work on 2 in a row. You know, I'll work on, you know. But then you're going to realize it's not really 2 in a row. It's not really 3 in a row. There's something deeper inside of me that I haven't yet. Because really what I was doing, I was just stopping my anger. But the anger, it flares up, but I'm controlled. I got to really get to say where it doesn't even bother me to begin with. So he has to work on a deeper level. So when you work on that, then Hashem will give you something else. It ain't going to stop. Like, get over it. It ain't going to stop. Because whatever level you're on, how much weight can you lift? Wait, you can bench press 250 pounds on. That's really a gaffer, right? He's going to put another 5. The guy who can do 250 puts still another 5 on, right? So it's never going to end. Right? And no one's ever going to be perfect, but you're going to be better. And that's what Hashem wants. And that's what Hashem, so he's going to say it around. You know, we're going to dive into Hashem. And we acknowledge this is part of the growth. It's a very important part of growth. Yes, sir. Yeah, you know, listen, we don't ask for it.
I was going to say, I'm going to fail in the course of my day on my own. I'm going to make mistakes on my own. My actual request is, please do me a favor and put me in a situation where I don't fail because I don't want to fail. I am regardless in the course of the week.
The point is there's two steps here. It's a subtle difference. Number one, you don't ever want to do an Aveira. And that's what you're really saying. I don't want to do an Aveira. Yeah. And it's up to me. I'm not asking for any test that I'm going to fail. I'd rather not hurt anybody's feelings. I'd rather not speak Lashon Hara. Yeah. And don't bring me to that. But on the other hand, you know what? Hashem will say, thank you. So that shows you don't want to sin. You don't want to, that prayer, Al Tveinu Lo Lidei, it's Lo Lidei Chet, Lo Lidei Vera, Lo Lidei Vizayon. Right? It's not just Nisayon. It's Nisayon, Bizayon, it's Chet. So I don't want you to bring me to a test where I will fail and I will sin, because I don't want to sin. And you have to say that Ratzon Hashem. I don't want to sin. I don't want to sin. And you're going to bring me, I prefer that you don't give me a test, because in so far that I don't want to sin and hurt people, in so I don't want to sin and hurt you. So Hashem says, thank you. I appreciate that you don't want to sin. Good. Guess what? There's another track called growth. And I'm going to push you, and you're going to sin.
But that's not my rutzen.
That's right. It's not my rutzen. But my rutzen is, if you give it to me, I will work on it.
Right. But I thought I heard 10 minutes ago, I hope that I fail.
No, you have to. If Hashem's going to give it to you, you must fail. He will always give you, if there's a process, Hashem just doesn't give you something and you pass the first time. He gives it exactly the way to know that you will fail. He will give it you so that you will fail. It's the personal trainer who puts the extra 5 pounds on. Now, you know, I tell the trainer, don't put another 5 pounds on. Don't put it on, because I know I can't lift it up. I don't want to disappoint you. And he just puts those 5 pounds on anyway. And boom, down I go. Right? So, insofar as I don't want to do a sin, and I don't want to remain in a state of sin, don't bring me to tests that I'm not going to grow from afterwards, and it's just going to be an Aveira, and nothing else is going to happen. I don't want that. And I don't want to ever do anything that's bad. And you know what? And if you don't give me these tests, I won't fail. So Hashem said, that's good. I'm happy to hear that your rutzen is that you don't want to disappoint me. And you will be rewarded for that. But now you are a human being, and now it's my job to decide where you need work on. Right? And so it's a difference in expressing my rotzoin, that I don't want to do an aveira. And then there's a second level of, and of Hashem, if you're going to decide that I should fail, then, you know, it's your business. Because you're the one who gives me these failures. And then I'll have to learn to work through them and grow through them, that ultimately I won't fail from them anymore.
Effectively saying there's two separate tracks. One where you're going to try and avoid areas where you know you're going to sin.
Yeah, certainly, for example, let's say you know if you're in front of a TV, you're going to watch something you shouldn't watch. So guess what? Don't go in front of the TV. Right? That's in your control. That's part of that prayer. If we're asking God, don't bring me into tests, certainly I'm not going to put myself into a test, am I? Right? But what happens if, you know, God makes your car break down somewhere on the highway, and you have to go to the service station for help, and they happen to have the TV on. All right, so now Hashem is bringing you to a test. And they're watching something that's not good, and you have to give a second look. Okay, what can I do? I failed again, so I'm going to work harder. Right? But a lot of these aren't aveiras. I'll say learning how to read is not aveira. Right? And all these personal struggles. We all know we have personal struggles. And we say, you know, you don't get along with your wife. Okay, Hashem, you know, maybe don't give me any tests. Make my wife be nicer. You know, well, you know, maybe if you're, you know, he could do that a little bit. Maybe, you know. But on the other hand, Hashem's going to say, no, you're going to have to be more tolerant. You're going to have to be a bigger tzaddik. Right? So you have to.
She's not nice because she's improving you. You don't want her to stop doing that.
That's right. That's the that Rizal story with the wife who's the tikkun.
Yes.
Right. It's the same thing. Yeah. So you, what he's going to say later on is don't go through these days that you know you just see the day coming up and say this is going to be a lousy day because I'm going to have to deal with 10 situations that are not going to be good and that I am going to fail and this and that and everything else. And say, I wish the day away. He says, you shouldn't wish those days away. You will grow in the deepest, darkest failures. You're going to grow tremendously. And that's an important concept to really get into our minds. That to be swimming in failure is that God has put you in is the best place for you to be in. Because one day you'll swim in success. That's provided you keep fighting. You keep working. So it's those who resign themselves to the failure. That's not what Hashem wants, right? But I think that the main thing is, you know, we're so worried how there's this idea in society we want to look good. Look good, even if I'm bad, I'm going to hide it in front of as many people as possible. That's what I'm saying. A guy doesn't want to read. A guy has to become the chazan. He's an novel. He doesn't want to. They don't want to daven because they will look bad in front of everybody else. So, what's in the grand scheme of things? What's wrong with that? Person's ego. That's all it is. It's just a person's ego. Truthfully, everybody would want to read Hebrew properly. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you want to read it better? Right? I can't do it in front of everybody. They're going to know how bad I am. And you don't think they don't know already? Let's be honest. Most people know, the most people who are Baal Tshuvas. The only ones they're really expecting to read well is the rabbi and anybody who had a day school education. No one's expecting anybody to read better. So what are you trying to prove? What are you trying to prove? Just do it. You have 100 critics, and just take the criticism. Every day, you'll do one word better. By the end of the year, you'll be a better reader. Finished. You should thank Hashem that you're going through that. I remember when I was in grade 11. I think I said this story once. I was in grade 11 in my high school, right? So the principal, right, Baron, sweet man that he is. He should live long. He wanted to pick his chazonim for shacharis. We had to be there for minyan, right? 7:30. So he always liked to have a chazon per day. He figured six good guys. So, and usually it's grade 12, you know, seniors. By grade 11, the last thing I ever wanted to do was daven for the yom. But the last thing I wanted to do was any of these things. So like one day, he said, Yosef, daven. Okay, so I had a daven. So then like every week, you know, I try to like bury myself behind these taller guys. I wasn't such a tall guy, right? You know, and I had the corner seat. I had the Brun was on the far left side by the art, and I went to the far right side, and there were big seniors all around me. It's like I knew it was coming up to Yishtabach, right? It's coming close. The end of the exhibit, that's when he called the next chazan. So I'm like, you know, so like one time, like he and the guy goes, Shem Echad Rishmo Echad, right? You know, and then there's this long pause. Baron was looking for me. It was Thursday. Nachsi, he wanted me daven Thursday, the longer davening. Tell your mom, like he was like upset with me. Like, what do you make it? No. That was it. I had to resign myself. I had to daven every Thursday for 2 years. You know, and I hate it. I was so scared. Because all, you know, juniors and seniors make fun of you. And then when you're up to the Yomid, you're afraid you're going to say something stupid. You're going to make a mistake and you're going to blurt out the wrong word and this. And I was like fearful. I was fearful. It was like maybe like for a year and a half. It was like I was really suffering leading for the Yomid. I was suffering. But Baruch Hashem, now it's no big deal. No, but at least I understand the angst that all other people are going through. But you know what? That's life. Just get over it, man. Just do it. And you'll make mistakes, but you know, you're not an idiot, and one day you're gonna learn. Right? So, and weren't there a few times up that I made big mistakes? You know, you forget to say, Elokeinu Le'ev Aseinu, and you forget to say this, you know, you have to, when there's, you know, a fast day or something like that, and you do something, so you did it. No. You know, the problem is people think these things are unrecoverable. I can't live after people showed me I made a mistake. You know what? You can live, and believe it or not, everybody forgets about it. You know, there is a beautiful concept called, it does blow over. Even in shul, with shul politics, and you don't think a rabbi makes a boneheaded mistake from time to time, you do something stupid, and people criticize you, and you're human, you make thousands of decisions in a year, right? You know, baseball players are all-stars if they get a hit once every three times. That means they fail two out of three times, they get $1 million. Right? So, right? Whatever, you know. Even chances, you know, you still have a fielding percentage of 990. You know, it means every 100 times you touch the ball, once you fail. Right? So you know what? But, you know, saying to a rabbi, you're not going to make mistakes. And as a husband and a wife, you're not going to make mistakes. You have 50 opportunities with your spouse, and 47 of them you're okay, and three you messed up big time. Oh, and it's so terrible, and the fallout, and this and that. You know what? It all blows over. And for the one person who won't let it go and will remind you, they're nuts, and don't worry about them. You know, you get up and you say the stupidest thing in davening, like imamish, right? Like you say something that's such a boneheaded mistake. Like, how could you make such a stupid mistake? Everybody does. I seen Chashur Rabbanim had a lead for the Amid. There was one Rav who had a lead for the Amid. It was Rish Chodesh, and he must have forgot it was Rish Chodesh. And it was a yortzeit. He was davening on a yortzeit. And he forgot it was Rish Chodesh. And it comes to repetition. He mamish forgot it. L'kein l'gei v'seinu. Which everybody knew it meant he forgot it to say in his quiet Shmoneh Esrei. You know what? They corrected him. Guess what? He lived for another day. Believe it or not. Chashuv Rav. He lived another day. And who remind, you know, and the one oddball who remind, Rabbi, I remember 20 years ago, you forgot to say, the guy's nuts. Don't worry about those people. They have sick people who have no sense of self-esteem. And the only way they can is remember the mistake that a rabbi made 20 years ago. So you're worried about those kinds of meshuganers? So therefore, we have to welcome all the mistakes that Hashem brings in our lives with the focus of not saying, well, everybody makes mistakes, so I don't have to be better. Chas v'shalom. It means, therefore, I have to be better, and I will be better, and that better will be a solid better than it was before. How this all fits into tefillah, stay tuned for September.